The Sound of One Assassin Changing His Career Path by Kellifar. Ow! Jensen startles awake to the sound of something large and heavy falling through his bedchamber window. He sits up and rubs his eyes, and for a moment he thinks maybe he just imagined it, but then he catches movement in the deep shadows of the corner furthest from his bed and the dying light of the fire in the hearth. "Show yourself," Jensen demands, trying to sound authoritative, but his voice is sleep rough and sounds tremulous at best to his own ears. He's thinking it's one of his younger siblings snuck into his room to do something mean to him while he slumbered, but he has to let go of that best-case scenario when a shadow detaches itself finally from the rest of the gloom and is taller than even his older brother, Andrew. "You don't think you could, go back to sleep and forget I was here, do you?" the shadow asks, still only a maddening shape in the darkness. Jensen wants to kick his legs free of his bedclothes because he's starting to get a very bad feeling about all of this, but he'd had a little too much to drink the night before, his first night home from school no less, and he's pretty sure he passed out without pants. "Who are you?" Jensen snaps, wishing desperately for a weapon because a stranger's presence in his bedchamber can only mean that something a little worse than waking up with butter rubbed through his hair was on the cards. Like not waking up at all. "If I told you that, I'd have to kill you," the shadow says with a shaky laugh, and Jensen glares, still trying to pass some kind of detail that he can tell the guards to look out for. Was that a joke?" Jensen finally asks. Bare ass or not, he's starting to think that maybe he should get out of bed. "Yes," the shadow says, but he doesn't sound sure. He lets go another shaky, nervous-sounding laugh, and then sighs and slumps, dropping into the heavy chair by Jensen's desk. "This is a disaster. Look, I'm not sure what you're doing here, but I was supposed to kill you," the stranger says, and Jensen swallows. Oh, Jensen finally manages through a throat gone dry. The thing is, eventually he knew this was going to happen. He's not a bad guy, but unfortunately most of his family is. Bad to the core if the rumours and stories told in taverns across the city of Soloy are anything to go by. Jensen is kind of a light sheep in a family of black ones, never really having grasped the idea of being, well, evil. The Ackles are tyrants, one and all, except for him. His problem is he's also the second-born son, due to inherit everything if his brother Andrew meets an untimely end. While he's no particular threat to Andrew, he has 8 other younger brothers and sisters who would like to see him out of their way. He could try telling them he's not interested in either the money or the lands, but he knows they'd think it was some kind of trick. He thought maybe taking himself away to school would help them see that he was different, but obviously it didn't work. "Who was it?" Jensen asks glumly, trying to mentally shuffle through his siblings for a likely candidate. He discards Penny, all of 12, and still only generally mean rather than outright evil, but the others... "Do you really want to know?" the stranger asks, and Jensen wonders about that. Would it be easier to know, or would it just make him concentrate on one of his family members in particular, only to be taken out by another who noticed his distraction? It wasn't like he was capable of killing them first. He just didn't have it in him. "I guess not," Jensen says. He casts about, but his pants aren't in easy reach, and he's just resigning himself to having to run for his life with everything hanging in the breeze when the stranger stands and moves back towards the window. "Wait, where are you going?" Jensen asks. "Well, I can't kill you now," the stranger huffs. "You're all polite and sad." "Oh, well, thanks," Jensen says slowly, having to wonder if the moment he relaxes the stranger is going to charge him and do him in anyway. "It's okay. I'm not really sure I was up to this anyway," the stranger says, almost low enough for Jensen to think that maybe he wasn't supposed to hear that last part, and then he's gone. The flicker of the dying fire and the chair he'd sat on pulled sideways, the only evidence he was ever in the room. "This is highly irregular." Jensen is glaring at the guildmaster before him, who is shuffling papers and looking flustered. "I mean, we've had complaints before, but never from the intended target." "I have to be home for the whole summer, and I don't want to be kept up at night waiting for another one of your goons to come tumbling through my window," Jensen snaps, smacking a hand down on the table in front of the guildmaster's nose, and the man jumps. He has the decency to look contrite while still madly sorting through numerous kill orders on his desk before he comes up with one and squints at it. Ah, yes. Oh, I see. I mean, it was Jared's first assignment, so... Jared, Jensen asks, finally able to put a name to the disembodied voice from his room the night before. Now if only he could put a face to it. Not important, not important, the guildmaster says quickly, flushing and flustered. Look... Usually we offer our clients a guaranteed kill. If we fail in a first attempt, we try again for free. But since you're here and quite inconvenienced, the guildmaster eyes Jensen like he still can't believe Jensen just waltzed into the Assassin's Guild to complain. We can probably waive our normal policy and refuse the next order. You mean no one's going to try to kill me? Not from the guild, no, the man confirms. But before Jensen can relax, he's quick to say, that doesn't rule out the client sourcing an assassin from another city. I mean, I'd feel an obligation to at least give the client some references as a professional courtesy. Of course, Jensen says. But that could take days, maybe even a week. I'm sure you won't have anything to worry about. No. Right, Jensen agrees, and is about to turn around when the guildmaster clears his throat. Of course, the client could just decide to kill you themselves, the guildmaster allows with a sigh that speaks of how poor form that would be. I mean, it happens. Thanks for your help, Jensen says, tone a little strangled. Jensen is starting to feel a little ridiculous and a lot paranoid going to bed with a loaded crossbow when someone comes through his window again, a lot more quietly this time. Jensen sits up and swings his legs out of bed, pointing the crossbow and watching the intruder look at the roaring fire in the hearth and then toward Jensen's bed in confusion. With the benefit of the better light, this time Jensen is able to see his would-be attacker. He's definitely tall, that much Jensen could make out in last night's gloom, but he's also broad with shaggy brown hair. Jensen still can't exactly see the man's face because he's now looking at his shoes and apparently finding them fascinating. You're awake, the man who Jensen can only assume is Jared says. After the attempted assassination last night, yes, you could say I had some trouble dropping off, Jensen says, rolling his eyes. I'm sorry about that, honestly, Jared says, and he sounds so genuinely upset that Jensen almost lowers the crossbow. Almost. I thought I'd lucked out, you know, Jared continues, still looking at his feet, and Jensen watches the restless way he hops from foot to foot, the way the guy is chewing on his lip from what Jensen can see under his hair, and Jensen suddenly realizes that Jared is young, possibly too young to be stealing into people's bedchambers and murdering them in their sleep. I mean, an Ackles is my first assignment. Easy, right? Thanks a lot, Jensen grumbles, and now he does lower the crossbow, although he doesn't actually put it aside. He is actually starting to believe that Jared isn't here to kill him, but it doesn't mean that Jared isn't serving as a distraction for someone who might be. That's not what I just thought it might not be so bad if the person was, you know, a bad guy, Jared amends, and finally looks up. From what Jensen can see, he has a nice face. Will probably be full-blown handsome when he grows into his features more, because at the moment his ears are a little goofily big, his teeth too. Jensen wants to slap himself, thinking that Jared's eyes are a pretty shade of something that can't be defined in the firelight, and they have an almost exotic tilt to them. Jared was here to kill him only the previous night. It's definitely a bad idea to think he's adorable. Wait, you think I'm a bad guy? Jensen asks, what Jared has just said registering to his distracted brain on delay. Not you specifically, but I've heard the stories. Ackles is a name they used to make the kids I grew up with brush to their teeth and go to bed, and that's saying something. Most of them ended up in the Assassin's Guild like me. Yeah, all right, Jensen allows, because it's true. His family has a pretty colourful reputation, and the most dominant colour is red. Jensen's ancestors conquered and pillaged their way into their position of power, and even though most of the wealth and reputation these days is inherited rather than earned, he knows there has to be something up with his bloodline still when it doesn't come as a surprise that one of them hired a guy to kill him. I asked around, though, Jared says, and when Jensen blinks, he just steps forward, hands out. Thieves Guild and most of the taverns nearby. I'd mention the name Ackles and people would quake in their boots, but as soon as I said Jensen, they all got this speculative look. Some hadn't heard about you at all, but the ones that did had some pretty wild stories. Like what? Jensen asks, intrigued despite himself. He's not sure what stories about him specifically could be doing the rounds. Like you make your kitchens put out the scraps for the beggars at festival, and you visit little old ladies and take them soup when they're feeling poorly. I did that once, and I'm never going to hear the end of it, am I? Jensen complains. It was true. One of the kitchen ladies that had served their family well for more years than Jensen had been alive had succumbed to a creeping sickness that didn't allow her to work any longer. Jensen heard about her plight and took blankets and food to her home. The reason he hadn't been back was because, with most families, charitable work was seen as a good thing. With his, it was a sign of weakness, and he didn't want to give his siblings yet another excuse. So, let me get this straight. You came to apologize to someone you're going to kill because they maybe didn't deserve it? Jensen asked incredulously. Yes, Jared says in a small voice. I'm pretty sure the Assassin's Guild isn't that discerning. I hate to be the one to tell you this, but probably most of the people you're hired to do away with won't exactly deserve it. I know that, Jared says, sounding glum. I thought maybe I would get used to the idea, and it all seemed so glamorous at the beginning. Plus, it's a pretty decent living, and they booted me out of the Thieves' Guild. Is the only reason you came here to apologize? Jensen asked, setting the crossbow aside at last. I wanted to make sure no one else was going to carry out the orders. I couldn't find the kill order to destroy it, and I got worried. Apparently, in reparation to my inconvenience, the guild is going to outsource to another city, Jensen says. Oh, well, then you should be okay for a few days, Jared says. That's what the guildmaster said, Jensen nods, and then pulls a face. It doesn't stop whatever loving family member of mine that hired you doing it themselves, though, Jensen adds, and is confused when Jaren brightens at this news. So you're still in danger? I would assume so, yes, Jensen says, more puzzled because Jared is now practically bouncing on his feet. It's just that I was thinking since this assassin thing wasn't working out for me, maybe I could branch out into protection. You want to be my bodyguard? It's the least I can do, Jared says, nodding vigorously. Well, Jensen hedges and thinks about his very generous allowance, which is more than enough to maintain a staff, and how he can't exactly sleep with a loaded crossbow every night because he's more likely to shoot himself somewhere soft and sensitive than wound any intruder. Plus, Jared is very nice to look at, which makes a change from the thugs his father and Andrew have surrounded themselves with. Okay then, Jensen agrees, but before Jared can get too excited, he says, but I pay on a sliding scale. I get injured and your pay slides into nothing. Deal, Jared says. The Sound of One Bodyguard Getting a Promotion by Califa. Jared is Jensen's bodyguard all of 5 minutes when he gets hurt. Really hurt. What were you thinking? Jensen huffs, slip-sliding down the embankment to reach Jared's side. Jared is turned to face him, which is the only reason that Jensen's not completely panicking, because he can see Jared's eyes are open and blinking. He has a gash on his forehead that's bleeding sluggishly, and his arm is bent at an angle that nature never intended. I don't know, Jared groans, moving to cradle his arm against himself. Maybe because that was your little sister, so I didn't think she wasn't actually serious about running you down? She's an Ackles, Jensen says, waving off one of the guardsmen to fetch help. The man looks towards Pandora first, who gives a do-what-you-will wave of her hand and retreats, kicking her horse into a gallop. Jensen doesn't really blame the man. He's not the one known for bumping people off when he's displeased with them. We're always serious. Oh, it's you. How nice to see you again, the master of the Assassin's Guild says in a tone that implies that it is anything but. Jensen sketches a little wave, but then drops his hand when he realizes how awkward it must look. He has money and power, or at least money and a name with power, but he's never learned to wield either properly. He would have done so much better being born to a farmer. Maybe his siblings wouldn't be trying to bump him off, and family life would be less hazardous to his health. I want to hire someone, Jensen says, and the guildmaster's whole demeanor changes. He smiles brightly and rounds his desk in quick strides, holding out a hand to shake. When Jensen does, his arm is pumped so vigorously, Jensen is surprised it doesn't pop clean out of the socket. Right, right, excellent, the guildmaster gushes. He lets go of Jensen's hand only long enough to herd Jensen into a chair before he resumes his seat behind his desk. He immediately starts shuffling papers. Finally decided to do away with your older brother, eh? He adds with a wink. What? No, Jensen exclaims, horrified by the idea. Andrew is the self-centered bastard most of the time, but he's also the only family member not trying to do Jensen in. It's a rare trait in his family. Well, the guildmaster blinks, but recovers quickly. One of the younger ones getting a little too ambitious then. I don't want to kill anyone, Jensen says, rubbing a hand over his face. When he looks back at the guildmaster, the man is looking decidedly puzzled. He flicks his gaze pointily up at the assassin's shield above his head and then back at Jensen and asks, What exactly do you want? I want to hire a bodyguard, Jensen explains, leaning forward. Have you fired Jared? The guildmaster asks. I mean, I wouldn't blame you. He's a bit hopeless, considering his first assassination attempt was so disastrous. His first assassination attempt was on me, Jensen grumbles, and the guildmaster nods. Yes, quite. You have first-hand experience at how inept he is. I wouldn't call not being able to kill someone exactly inept, Jensen argues, but again the guildmaster merely looks to his shield and back to Jensen, eyebrow raised. All right, yes, I can understand how you would think that, he allows. But no, I haven't fired Jared. I want to hire a bodyguard for Jared. This is most irregular, the guildmaster says. It's not exactly what we do here. I just thought the best person to protect someone against an assassin would be an assassin, Jensen says, and the guildmaster rubs his chin, looking intrigued. Yes, quite, he finally nods slowly, and Jensen can see the calculation on his face, how possibly his client base has just magically expanded with Jensen's words. His eyes narrow, though, and he eventually shakes his head. No, we couldn't possibly, he says. You can, actually, Jensen says. You owe me. We are square with you, my lord, the guildmaster huffs, sounding scandalized. We agreed to take no further contract on your person, and we haven't, even though there have been many... Yes, I'm sure, Jensen interrupts, not really wanting to know how many attempts on his life Jared has thwarted purely by not killing him that one time. Assassins have to be hired outside of Soloy and travel, and usually by the time they arrive, Jensen's gotten wind of them. And I haven't told a single soul why. The guildmaster swallows. In Soloy, reputation is everything, and the very fact that a target was missed and the target actually went to the guild to complain about that fact would be quite damaging, not to mention embarrassing. You want a bodyguard for Jared, you say? The guildmaster says meekly. This is humiliating, Jared grouses, hunching into his cloak. The first snow of the season had sprung up unexpectedly, and Jensen makes a mental note to visit the Tailor's Guild and get another cloak for Jared, fur-lined and in the Ackle's colours. Something full-length for Jared and not full-length on a normal person and therefore knee-length on Jared. I just want to keep you safe, Jensen says, and then grimaces. So you can keep me safe, he amends quickly. Jared eyes him, still looking grumpy, and then looks back at the slight man that's shadowing them. Jensen eyes the figure skulking in their shadow and has to admit to himself that he looks far more like an assassin than Jared ever did. Here is someone that Jensen can picture sliding through a window in the dead of night and slitting someone's throat so quickly and efficiently that they would not even wake. Jensen shudders at the very idea. It's not just that, Jared says, tone still one of complaint. It's just... I know, Milo. We train together. He probably thinks this is hilarious. I don't care about him, Jensen dismisses, and tries not to give away in his face the moment Milo darts sideways and there's a gentle flump in the snow, and then he's dragging someone away. Jared's still looking at him with a frown, and hadn't even noticed the man in the black mask sliding into their periphery. Milo is back before Jared notices he's gone. I care about you, Jensen nearly says, but myself, he finally settles on. If you think I'm that awful, you could just fire me, Jared says, and shuffles his feet, looking anywhere but at Jensen, and not at the arrow that nearly takes him in the back of the neck either. Milo does an impressive leap and manages to sever the arrow mid-flight with a dagger he pulls from his boot. He hits the ground and looks like he's been standing in the same position for hours when Jared glances back at him. I don't want to fire you, Jensen says. I want to... He casts about for a moment before inspiration hits. To promote you, he says, and Jared's eyebrows shoot up in surprise. What? Yes, Jensen says, snapping his fingers. To the head of my household guard. You'll be Milo's supervisor. What's that? Jared asks, looking uncertain. It means you get to delegate, Jensen says, waving an arm in Milo's direction. Milo shuffles sideways and there's a muffled crunch. A man who'd been lying in the snow with a crossbow and dressed all in white except for a stuffed rabbit perched atop his head rolls away, clutching his hand. You delegate your guard duties to Milo because you're a supervisor. I outrank him then, Jared asks, dimples carving deep in his cheeks when he starts to smile. Jensen sees Milo roll his eyes over Jared's shoulder. Yes, absolutely, Jensen says, nodding. Well, that's different, Jared says, beaming, and Jensen finds himself a little dazzled. Jared's been growing into his features and he seems to have gone from cute to strikingly handsome in only a handful of weeks. That makes sense. Yes, it does, Jensen says, and claps Jared on the back, then links his arm through Jared's unbroken one. Jared smiles down at him and Jensen pretends to cough to cover the sound of Milo snorting. The Sound of One Ackles Getting a Clue by Kellifer. Jensen wakes when a bar of sunlight settles over his eyes. He's waiting for the usual speech Peter gives him about languishing the day away, but when he manages to pry his lids apart, it's Jared looming over him, bed curtains gripped in his hands. No, that's not creepy at all, Jensen says through a yawn. Sorry, Jared says, not sounding it at all. I've just never understood how you could stay in bed when the sun's so high. You've been playing with the dogs again, Jensen observes. Jared's sweaty and dishevelled and has a definite smell about him that indicates what his morning activity has been. The Ackles hounds are renowned for their viciousness, except when it comes to Jared. In his presence they revert to puppyhood, lolling tongues and bellies presented for scratching. The huntmaster continually complains to Jensen about Jared making the dog soft, and Jensen has to agree, has been contemplating getting Jared one of his own so he doesn't feel compelled to spoil the house dogs quite so much. Who else is going to play with me so early? Jared asks with a grin and sits on the corner of Jensen's bed, a liberty Jensen ignores like most Jared takes. Jensen allows Jared more and more with each passing day, very aware that his affection is making him weaker still in the eyes of his siblings, but unable to stop. He's just thankful he has Milo to thwart the constant assassination attempts. Speaking of which, Milo, are you in here? Jared startles a little when the curtains near the fireplace part and Milo appears. Milo has been training Jared, the work doing wonderful things to Jared's body in Jensen's humble opinion, but obviously there are some tricks Milo is keeping to himself. I wish you wouldn't do that, Jensen complains, because he's had this talk with Milo before. I can't exactly protect you from dark agents stealing in through your window if I'm standing outside, Milo points out. Well, Jared's here now, so you can go, Jensen says, and doesn't miss Milo's eye roll at the assumption that Jared is useful at protection in any way. Jared misses Milo's reaction, thankfully, looking at the window that he himself stole through with a thoughtful expression. Milo eventually sketches a little bow and departs. Jensen watches him go through the door and still isn't sure if he actually leaves. He's lost count of the number of times he's ordered Milo out of his room, only to have him appear at a moment's notice from nowhere. It's reassuring and discomforting at the same time, and Jensen is very glad that the contract on his life went to Jared and not someone like Milo. What do you have on today? Jared asks, bouncing a little on the bed. Jensen figures that's his cue to rise, and he does, endures Jared following him around the room, hopping from foot to foot. I'm not sure, Jensen says over his shoulder. I'm usually woken by Peter, who tells me. Oh, Jared says, looking crestfallen. So I probably shouldn't have locked him in his chamber then? What? Jensen splutters, right when Peter himself hustles into the room, then blinks in surprise at Jensen upright and functional. I'm kidding, Jared says with a grin, and makes himself scarce, or more accurately gets chased from the room by Peter, who tuts, muttering words like dilly-dally and lollygag. Jensen has always had a head for sums, likes keeping the Ackles books himself. They have quite a lot of income from various holdings and investments, but Jensen despairs of the amount of money frittered away by hiring people to do away with other people. If only their family weren't quite so bloodthirsty. Jensen's accepted long ago that he is an anomaly in his family, not seeing the appeal of violence. He's not even that worried that he has a reputation as the weakest link of the family because of it. That means that there are far less attempts on his life than any other Ackles. He's cleverer than most of his brothers and sisters, or so he's told. He smiles at the last few pages of books because there have been numerous transactions with the Assassin's Guild, and none of them have been to do with killing anyone, but keeping them alive instead. It seems everyone has copied his idea of having an assassin for a bodyguard. The guildmaster even sent him a gift basket of fruit for doubling the guild's earnings in the last year alone, as a whole new avenue of business has opened up for them. Jensen doesn't eat a single piece of it, of course. Milo had looked far too amused when he'd tossed the whole thing out the nearest window. "I have an idea," Jared says, sliding into the seat opposite Jensen's in the kitchen. Jensen tends to take all his meals in the kitchens because the family dinners tend to get a little too stabby for his tastes. "Will I like it?" "It's more a notion in progress," Jared amends, leaning across the table and stealing Jensen's bread. Milo appears at Jensen's shoulder and drops another roll onto his plate before disappearing again. "Are you going to elaborate?" "When it's finished stewing in my brain," Jared says, and Jensen pulls a face. "As long as I don't end up covered in custard again," Jensen warns with narrowed eyes, and Jared grins at him, cheeks stuffed full of bread. "That was an accident," he says, and then frowns. "This bread tastes funny." "Oh, Lord," Jensen sighs and calls for the healer, glaring at Milo as Jared goes green and runs for the door. "I thought your job was to stop the attempts on my life. Doesn't that include poisoned bread rolls?" "It's not harmful," Milo says, looking unruffled. "I tire of him stealing your food, considering I have to check everything. He won't be touching your plate in the future." "You did this," Jensen snaps, torn between running after Jared and throttling Milo. He's never really had the urge to do away with anyone before. It's quite bracing. "This will be better in the long run," Milo says. "Keep something in mind the next time you have such an idea," Jensen growls, standing and sweeping around the table he'd been set at. Milo blinks, actually looking worried. "Any harm done to him is done to me." "Right, sure," Milo says, and retreats into the shadows. Jensen knows he's still only a few paces away, but he can't see him, and that's about as much as Milo can do without abandoning his post completely. Jensen follows the path of Jared's retreat. "So, this idea," Jensen starts when Jared is feeling more himself. To cheer Jared, Jensen has taken him to the kennels to pick a pup he can keep with him. Jared is currently kneeling at the centre of a squirming mass of small, furry bodies, lamenting that he must choose. "I've just been thinking," Jared says, a puppy hooked under each arm and a hopeful expression on his face. Jensen shakes his head, sternly holding up one finger. Jared sighs, puts both puppies down, and commences his search anew. "For a family bent on doing away with each other, it's more than passing strange that you've all miraculously survived." Jensen opens his mouth, closes it again. He's about to laugh, refute Jared's claim, but it's true. Every single Ackles child is still quite well and plotting. Jensen raises an eyebrow at Jared when he re-emerges from the pile with what looks like the smallest, ugliest pup. "That just means..." Jensen can't think exactly what it means, so gives up trying to justify it. "What do you think it means?" "That I'm still working on," Jared says, waggling the ugly puppy at Jensen for approval. It looks like a tiny, grumpy old man. Jensen sighs and nods because he would expect nothing less of Jared. "I just thought... you know... passing strange." "Yes," Jensen muses, nodding. He grimaces when the pup is passed into his arms. The thing smells atrocious. "Are you sure this is the one?" "He's perfect," Jared nods. "He needs me." "He needs a bath," Jensen says, wondering if maybe a wash will improve the pup's look. The pup continues to look like a little grumpy old man, but at least after his bath he doesn't smell so bad. "Tabitha?" Jensen says when he opens his bedroom door to the quiet tapping. He had been expecting one of his siblings to come at him directly someday, but he hadn't been expecting it to be his second youngest sister. "Really?" Jared appears behind her shoulder, and Jensen's shock turns to simple confusion. He watches as Jared prods Tabitha, who rolls her eyes. Finally, she takes in a large breath and gets out all in a rush. "I don't want to kill you." "What?" Jensen asks, unsure he's heard correctly. Tabitha looks like she's going to say something else, but then her face crumples and she starts crying, big, walloping floods of tears. She flings herself into Jensen and he juggles her awkwardly for a few moments before he manages to get his arms around her. "I don't want to kill you," she hiccups into his chest. Thanks, he finally settles on, not quite sure what his response should be to that. I mean, you played tea parties with me when I was little, and you never told anyone that I still sleep with a fire banked because I'm afraid of the monster under my bed, Tabitha continues, leaning back so she can look up at Jensen with a soggy face. I don't want to kill you, she presses. But it's expected, Jensen guesses. I was the one who hired Jared because I'd heard rumours about how bad he was, Tabitha continues, cranes her neck around to say, sorry, to Jared. It's fine. I'm aware, Jared offers charitably. I thought if I was seen to be giving it a shot, then that would be that. I thought someone else would take care of it, but I didn't really want that either. Well, we can agree not to kill each other, Jensen says. It can be our secret. I don't think it has to be, Jared interrupts, and Tabitha and Jensen just look at him. He shrugs and smiles. The Ackleses are extremely good at killing people. So why is it they can't manage to kill each other? Andrew is next, and he just sighs, pinches the bridge of his nose, and looks downright put out that he has to admit it. Of course I don't want to kill either of you, he says. I carried you both around on my shoulders on festival days when you were smaller. Rennie, only a year behind Jensen, nods stiffly and looks hunted. Pandora, who has the worst reputation, doesn't stop sharpening a knife, but she does dimple prettily as she says, If I were actually trying to do you in, you'd be done in by now. They move through Jensen's siblings, and finally at the end of the day, Jensen has to sit down or he'll fall down in astonishment. How long have you known? He demands, and Jared laughs. I think the moment someone hired me, he admits. Honestly, you must have been suspicious about that. I thought maybe someone was just being cheap. Jensen says, and then they're both laughing. Andrew will draw up an agreement between you all. No Ackles will harm another. It'll be all very official. Well, we'd better make you an Ackles as soon as possible then, Jensen says, confused when Jared's smile fades. That's very nice of you to offer, Jared says, and Jensen feels a tight lump of discomfort settle in his belly. He was starting to think that Jared returned his affections, but apparently he'd been wrong. I mean, I know my feelings will never be returned by you, but I don't want you to feel like you owe me anything. Your feelings, Jensen prods, his dashed hopes taking root once more. You were the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen in my life, Jared says, flushing deep red. I was pretty sure I couldn't kill anyone before I even entered your bedroom that night, but I was absolutely certain as soon as I laid eyes on you. Well, it's lucky that I've been harboring feelings for you for months now, Jensen says, and Jared's face lights up. I'll need something to do now. My time won't be taken up with avoiding attempts on my life. I can think of a few things, Jared says, grin wide and infectious.